Today, we're stepping a little bit out of order. And I realize that everything has to be done decently in this proper order. But right. When do we ever do everything always rightly and in order? But today, stepping out of order. Because what's going on around us, both nearby and far, far away, it's high time we talked about peace. So we're jumping over one day attitude and we're going to talk about peacemakers. But first, some housekeeping details. I love that expression. First, some housekeeping details. You go to any conference you go to, any big meeting you go to, you know what housekeeping details are? The kitchen is over here, the restrooms are over here, the exits are, it's stuff like that. Those are the housekeeping details. But in my case here today, it's a disclaimer. I'll give you a disclaimer. How'd you like today's gospel reading? I went, when I put it in, I went, when I read it. Because it's a little different than normal. I've been doing different translations, but this is very different because it's the first time ever, and probably the last time ever, I have read a passage from the Message in the worship service. The Message is okay to read. I mean, it's not heretical, it's not blasphemous, it's just not a good translation because it moves things around. And I figured you probably heard the Beatitudes read at least once or twice or four or five times, right? So I figured it couldn't hurt to hear this. Just as once. Anyway, so to continue, what did he get? Well, I'll start off with a statistic for you. I may have mentioned this to you before. I've used this or one similar to it many times over the last decades. Even so, it does bear repeating. Historians, going way back prior to archaeologists, have data that suggests that within what we shall call recorded history, something on the order of 3,500 years going back to when they started inscribing things on stone, humanity has lived in peace about 268 years over the last 3,500. That's 8% of the time. That means the world being entirely free of some kind of a major global conflict. Obviously, back in 3000 BC, 2000. See, even 1000 AD, there wasn't a global like we use the term today. But when you had the Roman Empire fighting here, that was the world. That was global for them. Global peace has been exceptionally rare. In fact, from 1945 onward, there has been no time when there wasn't fighting going on somewhere. Unfortunately, that statistic only only refers to military style conflict. More or less major military conflicts. Historically, they might even be small military, kind of like I said. You have the Assyrian Empire invading the Northern Kingdom of Israel back in 721 BC. That was a major conflict at the time. Today it's nothing. But it's still only military type conflict. You want to broaden it to the idea of what peace is and what conflict is. In actuality, the world has not known one second of peace since Adam and Eve had that fight about What's for dinner, honey? Think about it. We haven't had peace since. We've been arguing and fighting. How many people would think that politics? Three. Two with different opinions and a third with the cover. We meant politics. By the time Adam and Eve had little kids running around, there was politics around. It was arguing, it was fighting. So look at the big picture, the military versus interpersonal warfare. You and I have a disagreement, which is ultimately more important. There's been no peace. And all warfare, whether it's Dot and I having a disagreement or something, to what's going on in the Middle East right now, to what was hypothesized during the Cold War of us lobbing thermonuclear weapons at each other, it all boils down to interpersonal relationships. And think about the aftermath. Jump back into history again. The United States Civil War, which wasn't very civil, by the way. You know, want to talk about the war of Northern Aggression when the Yankees went and invaded us peaceable South lovers? Yeah. After that was only in Reconstruction, and is the Civil War still with us? Yeah, it is. After that, you know, the big one, the Spanish-American War? Remember that one? Hey, how's the Philippines and Cuba doing? That's still with us. World War I and the Treaty of Versailles. That was interesting, wasn't it? Led right into the League of Nations. Failure. Hitler, World War II. Then you got, World War II. It ended. You had the Cold War and the Iron Curtain. That's still around? In many ways, there's still a vestige of it out there. Oh, the United Nations came into being for that? Yeah. That's been real helpful, hasn't it? Oh, real helpful. And then we had Korea to deal with. Remember Korea? Korea, there's still something called the DMZ, the Demilitarized Zone. You know they're still at war, right? North Korea? There was never a peace treaty. It's an armistice. Interesting. Look at Vietnam. The Paris peace talks. What did they talk about? Where to go for dinner? That was real effective too. And we got that left around? Yeah. That's still hanging around. And now you got the Middle East from forever. It's been a mess. Filled with satanic nut jobs who hate for the sake of hate, I think. Satan is indeed alive and well in our world, both in the past, in the present, and probably in the future, but near and far. Yet in all the political posturing and self-interest out there, there were men and women committed to peace and making peace happen. Just hasn't happened yet or lasted. You know who Isaac Asimov was? Isaac Asimov was a biochemist. He was a professor at MIT. He was also one of the most prolific science fiction authors ever to be. He wrote over 300 books. He wrote textbooks and everything else. He was also a rabid atheist. He once had a quote that said, "Violence is the last refuge of the incompetent." He's in a book attributed to one of his characters, and I always thought that was kind of a silly quote, because it was answered by, wouldn't it be the first refuge of the incompetent? Competent people would try diplomacy and talking before they resorted to violence. Yet violent responses to anything are often our first responses, and sometimes they're even our favorite responses. A lot of people look for ways to lash out at any slight, to anything that troubles our peace. Our sensibilities, We look for ways to be offended. By the way, read the Constitution. Nowhere in there does it say you have a right to be not offended. One of the big things about the First Amendment is it guarantees that you will be offended. People seem to cook off anymore at the slightest provocation or none at all. You know, one of the great ironies of history, in our history, is the settlement of the western part of the United States. And one important tool was a firearm. It's frequently misused, but overall, they were necessary. You know, you had to hunt to eat and defend yourself, things like this. But the irony comes to the name of the one tool that was very, very common, began to civilize the West, was the Colt Single Action Army 45 caliber revolver. It was called the Peacemaker. It was a 1873 six-shot single action revolver for the Army and civilian use. And you had to actually pull a hammer back each time you wanted to fire. That's why it was a single action. You ever seen a movie where the guy goes bang, 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 you know, pulls it back? It was a single action. It was probably in 1873. One of the other phrases that came out of the Old West was that it was an equalizer. I mean, I don't care if you were 6'5" and weighed 280 pounds, now it's 5'2" and weighed 100. We both had a peacemaker in our hands, guess what, we were equal. Peacemaker might have kept the peace. It was a favorite revolver for law enforcement, but also for outlaws. So it had a decent name to it, except Peacekeeper might have been better in intent. Firearms generally do not make peace, but they can often keep peace. However, that was not the way Jesus meant the term peacemaker. If you notice, one of the reasons I went when I read the Beatitudes from the Message, the word peacemaker isn't even in that section. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's what's there instead of blessed other peacemakers. Okay, sure, fine. There's some intent there. If I deal with Bob and Pat here together because they're arguing, I'm being a peacemaker, right? I show them how to cooperate rather than continue to fight, but that's not the point. That's not how it works. So I have to be careful with God's word, but it actually says what it says. And one thing Jesus never said was be a doormat. He said be a peacemaker, it doesn't mean you turn around and walk away all the time. Other places where he said turn the other cheek if someone slaps you, that wasn't a cowardly thing to do, it was a very brave thing to do, it was also an insult. If I come up and slap Fran, I'm going to slap her this way. Mostly right-handed, right? So if I slap someone, I'm going to slap left side of her face, my right hand. She turns her other cheek to me. I have to slap her backhanded. I said, you know, the backhanded compliment kind of thing? That's a big insult if you offer your backhand to somebody. You're actually insulting somebody when you turn your other cheek. What Jesus is saying, you take them down a peg. When you stand your ground, you say, okay, you can't hurt me. I'll try again. Not being a doormat. Followers of the way, Christians, are not meant to be stepped on or stepped over. You can defend yourself. In fact, you're supposed to. When violent actions are necessary, you take them. Jesus at the temple and chased people out. Jesus says, buy a sword, for the days are coming. Sometimes against people, sometimes against things, we have to act. And that's why you have to look at Jesus' words as they apply to individuals. When Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, I don't think he meant Harry Kissinger. Well, maybe he did. Henry Kissinger did a lot, or seemed to anyway. Spent a little money. Spent a lot of time and energy going back and forth to Paris and non-talk, but the peacemakers are the individuals, not the nations. We need to resolve our disputes with each other through understanding, by being humble, by showing mercy, by being compassionate, by being able to work out differences, hey, by living through and in the Beatitudes that Jesus has been teaching. If we take all these Beatitudes that Jesus has given already and live them, we will be peacemakers. If we do that among our own, what does that do to the people out there? Well, we leave it at the door, absolutely nothing. But we take it with us. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. And Jesus said that. They will know who you are by your love. It can spread into the world. And that is what Jesus said, you know. Take it into all the world. End of Matthew. Go out, baptize, and make disciples. It's Jesus' command. Great commission. Go. It's ours too. Go. Teach, make disciples, baptize, and Father, Son, Holy Spirit. At the end of every service, I almost took it out today just for this reason. At the end of every service, we say, let there be peace on earth. Okay, let there be peace on earth. All right, what happened? Oh, peace doesn't just happen. It's got to be made to happen. Maybe she, let's make there be peace on earth. Shouldn't just sing about it. We can't just sing about it. We got to do it. Let's be.